Thank you for taking the time to listen to the Well Church Satterton's podcast. We pray that you enjoy this message and that it creates a well of hope in your life today.
Love that we have for others would be so strong, it would those that are around us. So I just wanted to say one more thing. You know, I lead worship and I'm pouring my heart out, and you know, things happen and things aren't perfect. And I want that to be an encouragement to all of you to just press through. It's not about if there's imperfection. He just wants our hearts. And we get so caught up in those mistakes we make, don't we? We get so caught up on them, and it just pulls us down, and the Lord's just laughing. He's just like, dust yourself off and get up. It's okay. I'm not caught up on it. You know? I'm not caught up on it. So I just want you guys to be encouraged. He is not caught up on it. So just go for it. The mistakes will happen and happen and happen and happen. And it's okay.
Good morning. How's everybody? Everybody doing all right? So I'll go over the announcements real quick here. We're reading John in July. It's a challenge. Is everybody doing that? Everybody having fun with that? Yeah, it's been pretty good for me too. The Gap Ministry this month, we are collecting for Aspire to Autonomy Safe House. There's a checklist over there with all the things that are needed. We want to know a little bit more about it. We have Sarah in the back. She's kind of our go-to for that. online Bible study, Tuesdays, 8 o'clock. Hasn't necessarily been every Tuesday. It's been kind of shifting a little bit to kind of accommodate a little bit. This week it will be Tuesday. If you want to join it and you can't make Tuesdays, you can let me know and we can kind of work around there if you want to be part of it.
It's on that blue sheet over there.
Yeah. All the information's over there. It's on the back of our bulletins here. My email address is on there if you want to contact me. And then we're having an outdoor movie on July 23rd at 7:30, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Willy Wonka. The original one?
Yes. Okay, we're going with the old one. Yeah, the one that's just as weird. Just as strange and just as fun. That's outdoors, right? Where are we having that?
If it rains.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Is there anything that we need to know? Like, is there going to be stuff here? Or have kind of been a little out of touch with that?
I think there's going to be popcorn.
A little popcorn and stuff like that. Some good snacks. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to bring something? We can bring something.
Mm-hmm. Bring
awesome.
A chair.
Bring a chair, blanket.
Blanket.
Umbrella. All right. So we don't pass a plate around here for our offering, but if you have one, you can hold it in your hand. Or I was thinking during worship, even if you have a number that you would like to give, you would like to sow into the kingdom, just hold that number in your head, and we'll pray over that. Lord, we just thank you that you're a God that invites us in to partner with you in every aspect of your kingdom, Lord. So we just ask that you take these gifts that we give and just multiply them and just include us in letting us see what you do with that and how you move and where you move, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So, today I want to talk about faith, healing, and joy. I'll try to pack it in here. something that I was asking the Lord and kind of searching a little bit in myself is to have a little bit more time with him. You know, life just kind of gets busy. And you come home from work, you're exhausted, you eat, you spend time with the family, and next thing you know, you're passed out on the couch. And that's kind of, you know, sometimes that's how life goes. And I'm just as guilty as that. And a few months ago, I started a new job, and it's a good job. I like the job, but the closest I've been to home is about 50 minutes. And the furthest I've been from home is about 2 hours and 45 minutes. So I got the time that I wanted to, which has really been good. It's actually, you know, I have an hour, 2 hours, sometimes even longer if I choose to travel back and forth, to just have worship music on, a teaching, or just listen to the word. And it's really starting to build up. It's really something that that I'm starting to enjoy, and I'm starting to really feel a big difference in what it's actually doing in me. So it's been kind of fun, and then having the John in July challenge has been fun, and you know, it just makes me press in even a little bit more. But something that's always been something very important to me since my walk with Jesus has been the healing aspect. You read the Bible, and Jesus goes to here and to there, and he's always healing and you know, preaching the gospel and just loving people. And it's something that's just really been really important to me. And when I read the Bible, it tells me that I'm made in the image of God. And because I'm made in that image, I look to Jesus. I look to see what he did and how he responded. And when I read what he did, like, I want to do that. I want to be part of that too. I want to press into those types of things. And before I would seek the healing, or I would seek the outcome instead of really pressing in to see Jesus in those things. And it's something that we really need to be careful that we do, and it's very easy to seek that healing or that breakthrough or whatever and not seek the author of that. And something when I read, I read, you know, Jesus was very humble, but Jesus walked in the abundance of God. And he had everything that he needed to accomplish everything everywhere that he went. And I believe that we have that same promise. We have that same abundance with our walk with Jesus. And the promises that God has spoken into our lives are full of power and abundance, and they will accomplish what he spoke into our lives. And if we turn to Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11, it says, "For as the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return there without the watering the earth, making it bear and sprout, and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me void without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter in which I sent it." And as sons and daughters, we have to have faith for that. We have to have faith in that word and in that promise. We have to grab a hold of that promise and just run with it. Faith is trusting what God has already spoken to our lives from the very beginning. And in Psalms 139, verse 13, it says, "For you formed my innermost parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb." God spoke those promises into your life before you were even born. And it brings me, so my main scripture for today is actually Hebrews 12, 2. It says, I have the Amplified version here. So it says, "Focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God." And Hebrews 11:1 says, now it just tells us what faith is. It says, "Now faith is the assurance," it says, "the title deed, the confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, and the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as fact what we cannot be experienced by the physical senses. So, I wrote a question down. It says, what perspective is our faith coming from? Sometimes, or something that I've actually picked up and heard about with my walk with Jesus is that Christians can sometimes have a perspective of faith that God can do something, but will he do it? And when we have a faith perspective like that, it could kind of inadvertently turn our hearts away from God. You know, we always will believe in that he's a good God and he's a loving God and he's a kind God, but it'll turn our hearts away from him. And we could let that kind of stuff turn into like doubt and unbelief, and you know, something doesn't come to pass, and then we start to get discouraged and wonder why it hasn't happened, and we start to make up reasons and bad doctrines and things like that to make up excuses to why this or that hasn't happened. We have to have a faith perspective of what has already been done. Our faith has to come from the perspective of the finished work of the cross. That everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross is already in us. It's already who we are. It's already ingrained in our DNA. And you know, the salvation, the healing, the forgiveness, the prosperity, the restoration, breakthroughs, whatever it is, it's already here. It's already in us. Jesus doesn't have to bear the cross today. He doesn't have to bear it tomorrow for us to have these things in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3, it says, "For I passed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Past tense. It already happened. Christ died for our sins. In 1 Peter, it says that he First Peter 2:24. He personally carried our sins in his bodies on the cross, willingly offered himself on it as an altar of sacrifice, so that we might die to sin, becoming immune from the penalty and power of sin, and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. Again, past tense. So, we may have heard the word sozo. It's this word that's used for multiple things and in the Greek context. So, I wrote down a little bit of what the meaning for this word sozo that's used for healing and things like that. So it says that the Greek word sozo was used over 100 times in the New Testament. It's an all-encompassing word for salvation, often rendered save or saved, past tense. However, a closer look at how this important word was translated makes it very clear that our salvation includes much more than just forgiveness of sins. Sozo was translated save 38 times in reference to forgiveness of sins. It was translated another 53 times as saved, past tense, in reference to forgiveness of sins. And then it says, however, there were also times where this exact same Greek word was translated as healed. The word is a complete restoring word. And we are restored back to being true sons and daughters, back to whose image we were created, including all those promises. So this word sozo has these multiple meanings that when we become saved, when we say our prayer of faith, our saving, and we're born again, this word just becomes alive inside of us. And John, 1 John 2. I don't have the verse written down for some reason. It might be 2. says that, my little children, I am writing you these things so that you will not sin and violate God's law. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate who will intercede for us with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, the upright, the just one, who conforms to the Father's will in every way, purpose, thought, and action. And he, that same Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, the atoning sacrifice that holds back the wrath of God that would otherwise be directed at us because of our sinful nature and our worldliness and our lifestyle. Again, I have the amplified version, so it's a little long-winded. And not our for ours alone, but also the sins of the whole world. And Jesus is that final payment for everything that we will ever need. It's already in us, and all we have to do is receive it. You know, just because we don't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. There's cell phone signals coming in here. We don't see them, but we know it's happening. You know, we can sit there and check our emails and play games and all those types of things. It's there. Our salvation is here. That payment is already paid. The things that we desire in our hearts and in our lives is already here. We already have this stuff. And I think the same thing goes for our faith. You know, just because we don't see it or feel it, it doesn't mean that it's not there. It doesn't mean that it's not working. It doesn't mean that the things we're believing in and having faith for aren't happening. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight, living our lives in a manner consistent with our confident belief in God's promises." You know, I kind of felt like I had to set up the healing part with the faith part. So we can jump into 2 Corinthians 5:20. It says, "So we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making his appeal through us, we, as Christ's representatives, plead with you on behalf of Christ to be reconciled to God." We get to represent Jesus here on earth. We get to be maybe the only Jesus that somebody sees today, or tomorrow, or the next day. And when I read that with the Bible, that includes healing. And 1 Peter 2:24 says, "He personally carried our sins." Again, he personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed. It's something that we have to come from that perspective. We have to have the faith that it's already been done. We have to... You know, the healing that we need, the breakthrough that we need, the prosperity that we desire, that can kind of get a little tricky. But it's already here. It's already part of who we are. It's already part of our DNA that we were created for a purpose and a value. And something that actually, you know, Kat had said if you wanted to come up and share, but something that I heard during worship was that Jesus changed the world that we know it today with 12 disciples. 12 disciples. And that just blows my mind. 12 disciples changed the world as we know it with spreading the gospel. And then on the way over here, I heard that, you know, in my heart, I heard that what our faith should look like is when Jesus fed the 5,000. They had a few fish and a few loaves of bread, but being in the presence of Jesus, it multiplied. And everybody was satisfied. It's a key word. Everybody was satisfied. And there's leftover. Like, that's who our God is. That's who we serve. That's whose image that we are created in. And it's such a wonderful thing to think about, that he is just that good, that, you know, we sit here and we might have needs and might have desires, but he already knows. All we have to do is seek Jesus in our circumstance and seek Jesus in our situation and seek Jesus in our healing and seek Him in whatever breakthroughs or whatever we are desiring in our hearts. We just got to seek Him in it, not seek the thing itself and ask Him to bless it. We seek Him and where He's in it. And I have a few scriptures here. They're all in Luke, kind of going backwards. Luke 9:11. But when the crowds learned of it, they followed Him. And He welcomed them, and He began to talk to them about the kingdom of God and healing those who needed to be healed. Again, healing is sozo, saved, delivered, prosperity, all these wonderful things, healing, physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, all these things. We've got to make sure that when we hear that word healing, it's this huge word with only four letters, but it's just this huge thing. And Luke 6:17-18 says, then Jesus came down with them and stood on a level place, and there was a large crowd of His disciples and a vast multitude of people from all over Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to listen to Him and to be healed of their diseases. Even those who were troubled by unclean spirits were being healed. Again, deliverance is part of healing. And Luke 5:15, but the news about Him was spreading further, and large crowds kept gathering to hear Him and to be healed of their illnesses. And I know that, I forget what verse it is, but I know that Jesus kind of gave the crowd a hard time on a few occasions, and you know, he kind of told them that, you know, I know that you're here because you saw me feed other people. You saw me do these miracles. That's why you're here. You're not here for me. But, you know, I think that, you know, he kind of called them out a little bit, but it was to draw them closer to Him. And I still feel like it was still an opportunity for Him to reach them. Even though they weren't there for Him, they were here there for the miracles, He still had an opportunity to sit there and heal them and to bless them, to draw them closer to Him and be in His presence. And so I have maybe one or two things that just questions and thoughts that came to my mind. You know, I feel that the church today doesn't have the impact on this world because we don't represent Jesus that way. We don't represent Jesus to be Jesus. And I feel like we don't have the faith for the abundance. We have the faith. We might desire it. You know, but we get kind of caught up in these little things. As long as our needs are met, we're okay. As long as, you know, my bills are paid and you know, I can pay my tithes and, you know, I can give, I have a little extra, I can go on vacation, you know, we're all good. You know, and even if things aren't that great, but we believe that God is good, we're good. And, you know, God is the God of abundance. I mean, when we start to walk in that abundance, the world changes around us. You know, Jesus when we read the Bible, you know, Jesus didn't stay in His hometown. Like, He went everywhere. He went everywhere that the Father was leading Him, and He lived His created purpose. You know, when I was spending time, it was funny because I actually just started putting this stuff together Friday night. And I was stressing about it yesterday because I was working yesterday and I didn't get home till like almost like I think like 6 or 7 o'clock. So usually when I prepare a message, I need weeks. but I've been going over it in my head and you know, on my awesome long drives that I have every day. And something that I heard was the fullness of God is in His abundance. It's in His overflow. When we seek the face and press into Jesus, the abundance just happens. It's not even something that we have to seek. It just happens because we're in his presence. I believe that, you know, when we're in, the abundance, the healing, the prosperity happens. And it's just like heaven just touches earth because we're in that presence. We're in his glory. We're in his, you know, we're just so close to him and so intimate with him that everything that he is just is a byproduct. It just happens. And I think that, you know, if we immerse ourselves in the presence of God in such a way, we will start to look like that first century church. And, you know, in the book of Acts, and, you know, when they would lay people in the street and Peter's shadow would just touch them and they would be healed and again, healed, sozo, salvation, all these wonderful things. And you know, Paul would send fragments of his clothes to people and they were healed. And you know, just that power was just so in the people that would do these things that it was just a byproduct. It was just there. It was just part of every cell of their body. And last week, I listened to the podcast because I wasn't here. Pastor Matt was talking about, you know, how each week kind of complements the next and the last week, and you know, things that we would love to see the Well Church look like. And I kind of wrote this part before I even thought about that, but you know, I would love to see the Well Church be the place that people come to get healed just because all of us have this intense face-to-face relationship with Jesus. That when, you know, people go to their doctors and they get a bad diagnosis, or they go and they get like a terminal diagnosis and they got 3 months to live, they come here because the presence of God is so intense and so real that people come here to get set free from whatever it is that it's coming against them. And I believe it's possible. I believe it's going to happen. I'm not going to say it can happen, because it's going to happen because it's already been done. It's already been released to us. And again, another hard thing to say, but you know, if we preach heaven on earth, but we don't see it manifest and we don't see that happen, what good is it doing anybody? You know, when the disciples, when Book of Acts, when they spoke heaven on earth and it happened. There was a purpose behind the things that they said, and there's purpose behind the things that they did. You know, the purpose of being sons and daughters of God is to reveal God's heart on earth, to reveal him. And this looks like Jesus, that we can seek the face and his presence and relationship with him. And the byproduct of that is heaven revealed on earth. There's, if you read the Passion Translation, it was, I think, Matthew chapter 5. I forget what verse it is, but it's the Beatitudes. And our versions that we normally read says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." In that particular translation, it says, "Those who wait on the Lord will see the face of who or what they're seeking." You know, what if we took that into account to where when we got something going on, we seek Jesus because that's what we want to see manifest in this situation. You know, this my time with God and listening to Pastor Matt last week and just, you know, sitting down on Friday night, you know, looking into this. And last night at 8 o'clock, I put on my headphones and put on my playlist of worship music. And I just got wrecked last night. And it was just, you know, something that I need weeks usually to prepare came about in about 2 hours, which was pretty wild to me. So, you know, it brings me back to my main scripture in Hebrews 12:2. I said I wanted to talk about faith and healing. and joy. So it says, I'll skip that little part. It says, focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Joy is what kept that fire burning. You know, the joy that we experience, we will experience when we are in that overflow, will be immeasurable. And it's not just in us, but to those around us. You know, the impact that we're going to have on the world when we're in his presence and we're in that abundance and we're in that flow or overflow, it's just going to change the world. And, sorry, I'll get to that part later. I almost kind of got ahead of myself there. You know, the joy of others' salvation and their healings and their breakthroughs from addictions and overcoming of depressions and anxieties and whatever mess that the world brings, you know, that freedom that people will bring, their freedom will just bring so much joy and so much, I mean, to their lives, to our lives, as we get to be a part of it, we get to witness it, and then, you know, we get to witness to other people about things that we saw, and it's just going to be this wonderful, awesome, amazing thing. And then, you know, we get to be the first glimpse of Jesus that some people will see today. In Acts 3, 7 and 8, I'm going to close with two verses in Acts. Acts 3, 7 through 8 says, then he seized the right man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up, and at once his feet and ankles became strong and steady, and with a leap he stood up and began to walk, and he went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. In Acts 9 to 10, this man was listening to Paul as he spoke, and Paul looked intently at him and saw that he had faith to be healed, and said with a loud voice, stand up on your feet. And he jumped up and began to walk. You know, the jumping and the leaping and the praising God, that's joy. That's the joy that just, I mean, instantly bubbled up inside of them the second that they were healed and set free. You know, I believe that joy, that's the fire in our hearts. That has to be our motivation. That's the fire that makes us want to be in such close intimacy with Jesus that everyone around him wants to meet him face to face. And to me, that's revival. That's what revival looks like. You know, revival is when the children of God just press in so intensely to bring his presence here that the world just changes. And when the children of God just lay it all down and surrender completely to Jesus and just become his bride, I think it's time for us to get back to that intimacy with our first love. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you're a God of abundance, that you're a God that just draws us in, draws us close, just wants to be so close to count every hair on our heads, just to be so in love with us that heaven is just a byproduct of that. We thank you for being a God that wants to draw us into that relationship, to set us free from everything else that comes against us, Lord. You are just such a good, good Father. We praise you, we honor you, and we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, that being said, if anybody needs prayer for anything, we'd love to pray for you. No matter what it is, if you're believing for something, having faith for something, need a healing, need a breakthrough, we'd love to pray for you. If not, have a good week.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. We're glad that what the Lord is doing among us encourages you. For more info about the church, follow us on Facebook or connect with us on Instagram. Visit dwellatthewell.com or come out and see us on a Sunday morning, 228 Ridge Avenue, Satterton, Pennsylvania. I'm taking away.